Donald Trump is the master deal maker. Just ask him. That's what he'll tell you. Trump lives and breathes, of course, the art of the deal. Trump entered his most recent deal-making effort, making great promises. Of course, I'm referring to the war in Iran. Now that we know what at least the initial result of that deal is, how well do you think Trump succeeded? I know it's a heavy lift given how often it changed, but think back to what the stated purpose of the war was. Does the agreement address that purpose? Pick whichever one you prefer. My first guest today is here to provide his analysis of this example of Trump's deal-making. Certainly a go-to person for this, considering his position as managing editor of Negotiation Advice International, as well as author of the book Negotiating with Trump, Lessons on Power, Influence, and Dealing with Extreme Bargainers, Peter Johnston. How are you today, Peter?
I'm fine, thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me on your show.
And learn more about Negotiating Advice International, negotiationadvice.com. We have that link at our homepage. To build a foundation for the listener, based on your knowledge experience, Peter, define negotiation.
So, Chris, we're effectively negotiating anytime we're trying to influence someone to do something. And so it's not what a lot of people assume in terms of it has to involve lawyers and boardrooms and detailed contracts. As an example of an informal deal, Americans go into the and mark their X on their ballots, and they don't sign a huge contract with the president when they support him, but they go into the ballot booth and they vote for him, marking that X, and that's their way of closing the deal. Whether he follows through or not is another story.
Only becomes it becomes so popular, and there, if you could turn to streaming channels, there were countless streaming channels all based on the game of poker. How much of negotiation is mirrored in how players play poker, you know, for looking for tells, looking for negotiations, trying to read the person on the other side of the table?
I think it's that is very much part of negotiation, being able to read other people. The president is, that's actually one of his strengths that I talk about in the book. But it goes far beyond just the tells of people's body language and language at the table. You're negotiating away from the table as well, as Americans have done with the president when they've expressed those who are unhappy with his performance, when they've taken to the streets. That's negotiating. It's just doing it away from the table to influence whether the president changes his stance on a given issue.
Talk about the elements of believability as well as trust, because a lot of people are saying with the way that Donald Trump handled things with Iran, and like I alluded to in the introduction, almost every day it seemed like there was a different purpose. And then with that becoming more fluid than a point of focus, what does that do as far as how much you could trust someone who can't keep a focus?
Yeah, point taken on the deal with Iran. I think the fact that the deal as it's been announced and the memorandum of understanding does not address most of the core interests that the administration expressed as being the reason the country was at war tells you something, doesn't it? It tells you that this was not about those interests, those national interests. This was very much driven by Trump's personal and political interests. And I believe that would include the Epstein files at home that were a distraction and undermining his power and authority domestically and leading him to a distraction in the Middle East, spurred on, of course, by his friend Netanyahu in Israel. Who assured him that Iran, as he's done for 20 years now, was on the cusp of developing a nuclear weapon. And I would just say overall, Chris, we shouldn't take this long-term agreement too seriously. I think it's dead on arrival because of how it was negotiated, to your point, in terms of, you know, the Iranians coming to the table because they were being threatened with extinction. That's a very... Deals are, you know, very much driven by the how. And that how is not a healthy how that builds trust and communication between the parties to allow for a long-term deal. The other question on the how was who was involved. I think the negotiators, including Kushner and Witkoff, they don't have the right expertise to be negotiating a deal like this. And as for the what, if you were Iran at this point, would you give up your nuclear ambitions when you've been attacked in an unprovoked way two times in the last 9 months? And would you give up your newly discovered superpower over the Strait of Hormuz? And anytime you're not happy with anything that's going on, or if people were to try to attack you, you can use that superpower. Why would you give that up?
Now, having said all that, Peter, and let's take it out of the specific case, but if you are in negotiations and you come out far shorter than what you said you were going to go for, what does that do in as your influence and position in future negotiations?
You've sort of answered your own question asking that question. It is... for sure, a knock on the president's credibility going forward. I think this doesn't make the U.S. look stronger. It undermines the military and the threat of using that military when it wasn't effective in this situation in terms of getting what the president wanted from the Iranians. So I think if we go back to last year and the bombings in June, that supposedly had decimated Iran's nuclear potential. You'll recall that just weeks before that happened, the president became aware for the first time of TACO. Trump always chickens out. And I believe that was one of the spurs for why he attacked in the first place, was he's all about power and authority and showing that military might, having the U.S. feared. And so He has undermined himself, to your question, on this negotiation in the shorter term and longer term. And as I say, this deal, people shouldn't get too fussed about it in the longer term, because I don't think it should have any roots given how it was negotiated and what's in it.
From Peter Johnston, who is Managing Director of Negotiations Advice International, author of the book Negotiating with Trump, Lessons on Power, Influence, and Dealing with Extreme Bargainers, negotiationadvice.com, the website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Turning to your book, Peter, you talk about the principles, the psychological principles of negotiating, anchoring, loss aversion, reciprocity, authority. What's the most misunderstood that opens the door for someone to fall short in succeeding in negotiation?
Well, if we were to talk about those principles, and I do in explaining how President Trump negotiated his way to power twice, just let me give you the brief examples of Trump is brilliant at using anchoring, which is our first impressions of what a correct answer is, Chris. In how he anchored people with the image he generated through The Apprentice. And to including up to 2024, we have evidence through research that shows voters who supported Trump, you could tell that they were still influenced by their perceptions that had been anchored 20 years earlier around The Apprentice, which was a remarkable success for the president. So what happens with anchoring is we create an initial impression answer. We think Donald Trump is successful in this case, and we ignore all the other data. And it's that would suggest otherwise in terms of a lot of the challenges and failings that the president's had in his negotiations. So anchoring, we have to all be careful about our initial impressions and challenge those impressions. And that's what we can learn from Trump, which is what I'm trying to show people in negotiating with Trump, is not just how to negotiate better with the president, but how to negotiate in your own life. The other one I'll mention briefly is the combination of power and authority that the president projects and what that allows him to do in terms of appearing to be credible and strong with the American people. When you tie that into a perceived sense of loss, and we have twice the concern over losses as we do an equal game, meaning you'd have to find $40 to be just as happy as you were unhappy losing $20. The president realizes that we have this tremendous aversion to loss, and he has built MAGA on that foundation in terms of make America great again. Why? Because of what's been lost. And when you tie that to authority, the reason the president's able to act in an authoritarian manner on many fronts is because 40% of Americans in some surveys want that authoritarian leader in certain circumstances. And what are those circumstances? They're them perceiving a big loss, whether it's through immigration or economically, and what they had before. And when you tie that into power and authority, the president gains more power and authority to act in an authoritarian manner because of that perceived loss, which he is so good at selling Americans as a pain point, making it clear to them not what they have, but what they have lost in the past and perceived losses going forward. So that's the power of that psychology. And, you know, insurance companies, for example, take advantage of our concerns over loss by pitching how we should protect ourselves from loss. That's why the insurance industry exists and thrives, overstating what our perceived losses could be to their financial gain, just as the president has done so effectively politically.
Insurance companies also make, well, let's say unrealistic promises. I just got an offer one time that says that if I make it to the age of 120, I'll get a huge cashback payout. So sounds great, but the odds of that happening are, I think, slim has left town already. But what Peter does with with negotiating with Trump is he takes the tactics used by one person and helps you understand the value they'll have in whatever it is you're doing. And you might not even realize it, but from business to day-to-day life, you do get involved with some element of negotiation. And maybe throughout all of Peter's books, there are so many valid points, but I think the one that might instantly click with you that you'll learn from the fastest, he does a complete different analysis from what we've heard already about the Oval Office meeting with Zelensky. You remember that spectacular moment? Well, Peter gives you insight as well into negotiation tactics and styles and how they can result in what you are hoping for and maybe not what you planned that might wind up having you in a better spot than you even anticipated. Again, the book is Negotiating with Trump, Lessons on Power, Influence, and Dealing with Extreme Bargainers. He is Managing Director of Negotiation Advice International at negotiationadvice.com. Peter Johnston, thank you for the really in-depth and easy-to-grasp understanding of the style, direction, importance of negotiating, and thanks for being here today.
My pleasure, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.